Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
While we're talking about reading books, we've kind of been talking about two different things. We've been talking about reading secular books, and then we've been talking about reading Christian books, and actually the third thing, reading the Bible. And certainly what we're not saying is that everybody ought to stop reading the Bible and stop reading Christian books and start reading totally secular. I think that we would all agree that if we're going to prioritize it, we would say first priority, if you have time only to read Scripture, that is what you should read most of the time.
And for most people, the exhortation is probably not going to be start reading a bunch of other things first, but we would say first, read your Bible.
Right.
Because maybe you need that encouragement, that exhortation today, but in addition to that, so not instead of.
Right, not instead of, but even then, if we're going to choose between secular and Christian, I would say, well, let's read some Christian books from people that we trust.
Yeah.
And then if there's other time that we have, then we can choose some secular books.
And I think we'll be surprised by how much time there actually is if we do things like turn off the TV, or we do things like prioritize and schedule time for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have books in different places of my house, which my wife doesn't always love. Says, hey, would you pick that up? But it's because if I'm sitting someplace and I see it, I go, oh, I'll pick it up and I'll read it. And so I think it's, definitely helpful to think about and to plan time to read. And because you can get through a whole, you just think about the summer, and a lot of people have a summer reading list or what they want to read over the summer. But there are actually more people in America who don't read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that people, you can ask, and there's studies that said that people have, I don't know what the percentages are, but it's, to me, it's way too high that they haven't read one book out of high school.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw something, and it was probably on Facebook. I don't know.
It's got to be true.
It was one of the late night talk show hosts. Did a little man on the street thing where they went out and said, name a book. And people were like, you put me on the spot.
just any book.
Yeah. People couldn't name a book.
Yeah.
And some of them said, I haven't read a book since high school.
All right. So I know several people who would classify themselves as non-readers, like that they can read. They just go, I just don't really like reading. I don't really read.
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
I don't know. You're the one that knows them.
Yeah.
You said I know.
No, what do you say to the people I know?
I say goodbye to them and good day.
I can't even
good day
right now.
You. Yeah. Yeah. No. So I don't know anybody like that.
Well, well, I do. And those people that I know, I would say, or I have said, and I will say, things like, you don't have to pick up the thickest book, a 600 or 800 page book, and read it from cover to cover right now. Pick something that you need or are super interested in reading, and start there.
Yeah.
And you can start small. Sometimes it's easier for people who aren't big readers to pick books with small chapters.
Yeah.
So that you can start someplace and you feel like you're getting someplace. Maybe a short book with short chapters can be a helpful way to start. And for other people,
written by a short person.
Yes, that's always helpful. One of the other things is that now I draw a line at some point, but I do think that listening to audiobooks, it can be really beneficial.
Yeah.
And I encourage it. I do it. And I find it. I was listening to an audiobook on the way here this morning and was blessed by it. Now, there are certain books. And especially when you're trying to study something, like listening to the Bible, I think you can do audio Bible and listen to it. But it's not really conducive, I think, for studying.
Right.
For really, because you have to get it in front of you to look at the words. And sometimes I write it out. But just for learning and for for enjoyment and for many other benefits, I think audiobooks can be really helpful for mm-hmm. people who would call themselves non-readers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all really good. I should tell people that.
So. You should tell people I know that so they can hear from more than one person.
Introduce those people to us and we'll tell them those things.
Yeah. Now, especially the part about starting with something that really grabs your attention, that you're really interested in, that you want to know more about. And that often will lead to other things. You'll read something and it'll kind of, you know, often authors, like you said, they read a lot. And so they'll quote from another book or refer to another book and point you to that. And so often one book will lead to another.
Yeah. Why don't you tell me what you guys are reading right now, or tell our listening audience?
Oh, I only read the Bible.
Well, then listen to this podcast when you're done. What are some other books outside of the Bible? I'm assuming, maybe I shouldn't. Are you reading the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Outside of the Bible, what else are you reading right now?
I am reading God is the Gospel by John Piper. And I'm reading that for two reasons. One, I picked it up at the T4G conference that we went to, and I was looking for a shorter book to take on vacation with me, and so that was one that I picked. But I also picked it up because our, I don't know if you want to say our theme at Piney Ridge Church for this year is Pursuing God, and Piper addresses that very thing in this book. He talks about the fact that God is the end of the gospel. He quotes, I looked it up here so I could be able to read it. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That's the mm-hmm. goal of the gospel, is to bring us to God. And so that book is challenging me, and which is one of the great reasons to read books by Christian authors, because we're often challenged by those books to make changes or ask God to make changes in our lives for us. When I read Piper, I often end up praying, God, cause me to love you more, cause me to rejoice more in you. And this book challenges me to make sure that I'm not loving other things, not loving the blessings of God more than I'm loving God himself. Sandy and I are reading a book by Nancy Guthrie. It's actually a 10-week study on seeing Christ in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I had another book I picked up at T4G because we had started reading the Bible together this year, and we got to Leviticus and bogged down quite a bit. And so I thought, well, let's see if we can. And boy, has that been an eye-opener for both of us. Again, it's just an example of how I have read those Old Testament narratives and not really queried the text, not really dug deep to see the themes of the Bible and how these fit in, and how these things that we read in Leviticus, for example, point to Christ. And it has been so enriching for both of us to go through that book.
Awesome. By the way, I think that that's a helpful measuring stick for what is a good book. You mentioned that it stirs your heart to love God. You mentioned about both those books that they are instructing you, teaching you, stretching you in certain ways in your mind and your heart. And then for me, one of the things you mentioned about the Piper book is that he's quoting scripture and then explaining scripture. To me, those are some of the best Christian books that you can read, when they help unpack scripture for you, because then they are kind of putting themselves out there to saying, listen, you can check for yourself to see what I'm saying is true or not, instead of me having to weed through all their words and then say, all right, now how can I defend that in scripture, or does scripture contradict that? If they're explicitly trying to unpack scripture and show you, then you're either going to be convinced or not from what they're teaching. And so to me, that's really helpful at times to read books like that.
Yeah.
Amen.
What about books for you, Nate?
Well, I just finished a 7 book series aimed at, teens, preteens that my kids are reading. Right up our
alley.
Called The Unwanteds. It's like a kind of dystopian sort of series. Mm-hmm. Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I bought a book by Joe Rigney, who teaches at Bethlehem College and Seminary. It's called Lewis on the Christian Life. It's about C.S. Lewis, subtitled Becoming Truly Human in the Presence of God. So I'm not too far into this, but so far, really like it. I like Joe Rigney's writing,
mm-hmm.
But I also like C.S. Lewis a lot. So I'm just hearing the way that he thought about things is really, it's always, stirring. It stirs me up to think more deeply and with more clarity. I'm always amazed at how he was able to illustrate things that were pretty deep, but in very kind of earthy ways. Yeah. And it's challenging in that way too, just to want to do that more.
Yeah, I think that's one of the C.S. Lewis to me is one of the guys where you can read and see the benefit of reading right away, because he saw the world differently than a mm-hmm. lot of people, than most yeah. people. And you're able to think differently about yeah. the world. God gifted him that way. He gifted him not only to him, but to us through him that mm-hmm. way. yeah, I have the unfortunate, maybe, I don't know. It's just a bad habit of starting a bunch of books all at once and finishing them after years.
Those are just the books that I'm actually reading.
Okay.
There's a whole list of other ones that I'm halfway through or two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah, no, me too.
Okay, good, good. I'm not the only one with bad habits. I've just, over the past couple of years, kind of given myself the freedom to some books to skim them. Now, that's hard for me to do because I want to read and analyze every word sometimes. And so some books I know that this is a good book with some good information maybe, and I'll skim some sections. And so I found that to be beneficial with some books, but for the most part, I read very slowly because I do analyze it as I'm reading it. And, I read with the pen in hand and mark it up as I'm reading. Unless it's a novel, then I don't. And but yeah, I just got finished reading the 4-book series, The Wing Feather Saga.
Oh yeah,
by Andrew Peterson. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it. It was really good. And reading a book by Robert Godfrey on heaven and earth. And I think actually the title is called Heaven on Earth. It's about life and death and the afterlife. Reading a book by Andrew Nocelli on moving from exegesis to theology, like how you read the Bible and you're interpreting it, and how do you get to a full-orbed theological understanding, practical theology, biblical theology, systematic theology from reading Scripture itself. So it's good.
That sounds like a page-turner.
It mm-hmm. actually is. He's a really good writer. makes it really easy.
Hey, you know, another book I've read recently was a book entitled Being There by Dave Furman. Have you guys read that book?
I did. Yeah, you know what, Pete? We read that together. Mm. I don't know if you remember. But yes, we read that book as an eldership, and the deacons are reading it as well. And it is encouraging and convicting and mm-hmm. helpful. Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe one last question. If you could pick only 5 books outside of the Bible, you'd have the Bible as well, but 5 books, or 3, I'll let you do 3, that you would reread over and over again, what would you pick? Books that you would reread.
Number one. Knowing God
by
Packer.
Packer. Mm, good.
Number 2.
Classic.
The Piper book. Oh, it's not coming to me right now. What is it?
Desiring God?
Desiring God. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one.
And number 3, the complete Sherlock Holmes by Arthur Conan Doyle. Those would be my 3.
That's a good one.
Mm. Man, so 3 books?
3 to 5.
What about, like, series? Can those...
I'll let you cheat and do a series.
Well, I'll just say the ones that I do read over and over again.
Okay.
Because I'm definitely a repeat offender when it comes to books. So I've read The Chronicles of Narnia. Numerous times since childhood.
Numerous.
We're going to count that as one.
Okay.
I just recently read through the Harry Potter series again.
Again.
So that's 7 books, but we'll count it as one.
That's one.
So that's 2 books.
That's 2 books so far. Uh-huh.
And The Lord of the Rings, which depends.
Do you include The Hobbit in that?
People like to break it up differently, but that could be 3 books or it could be 6 or... Okay. Yeah, so those, and you know what? The first Piper book that I... We all have to have a Piper book.
Yeah, we
have to. The first book that I read by him was The Pleasures of God, and I think I would probably want to take that one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then we'll see if I'm on a desert island. I don't know. It changes it a little bit. I really like C.S. Lewis's book. It's a compilation, God in the Dock. But a lot of it is apologetic. So if I was on an island, I might never see anybody again. I don't know how helpful that would be.
But it could be, apologetics as defense.
Right, yeah. Fighting for my own faith, yes, it could be. Yeah, I'll go with those.
And I would just pick the Bible. I'm just kidding. I would, in addition to the Bible.
You said
I know it. I would pick Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. I've read that 2 or 3 times, and I had a professor who read it every year, and it's really just helpful, encouraging book. I would say this. I'm not even finished reading it yet, but I know that I need to reread it. I'm almost done with Paul Tripp's book, 14 Gospel Principles for Parenting, and I know I'm going to need to reread that. Probably several more times before my children are out of the house. So I'll put that one at least until my children are grown.
Now, if you're on a desert island without your kids, you wouldn't need to take that one.
True that. Yeah. True. But maybe they're my family that are with me.
You would need it all the more.
Yes. I think knowing God might need to be on there as far as, because it's just really, it's really good. I might pick Desiring God because it's, was one of the most, it was the first foundational book. I actually hated reading until I read that book and convinced me that of the benefits and the joys of reading and God stirring my heart through it in many ways.
And how old were you then?
17.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to say 7. I was sure he was going to say 7.
7 months old.
No, I read the Institutes at 7. No. Thinking about another book the other day, actually, that I was like, you know, I need to reread that book, and it was really good. I can't remember it, but there will probably be others. I think that reading books has been a huge blessing in my life, and want to encourage and exhort other people to do it as well, largely because I believe God uses it, and it uses books. Nathan, I didn't get a chance to listen to your sermon yet, but I did read it from last Sunday. And just the idea of the stories that God tells, that are told about God throughout Scripture, and the stories we have to tell in this world of God's actions and God moving. Mm-hmm. I think we need those. And I think we need people explaining those and explaining God and His Word to us. And so it's a huge benefit. Any last words you would say as an encouragement or exhortation motivationally?
Well, I did want to add this just in case. I know it's highly unlikely, but just in case we haven't convinced someone listening that we should read books outside the Bible, I wanted to read this from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul is... imprisoned, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments." Now, we don't know exactly what those were, but it is highly likely that that was not only Scripture, that Paul, the apostle, thought that reading other books was important. And so there's just a little, for people who really... feel like they have to have chapter and verse for
book, chapter, verse, right?
Yeah.
Here.
That's I think Paul was eager, and he knew that this was near the end of his life, and he was eager to continue reading, continue growing in knowledge. So
amen.
I have nothing.
He has nothing. Well, I hope you have enjoyed and have been stirred up to read. And if you want some reading recommendations, don't feel bad about asking your pastors. We would love to be able to give you some ideas, have some resources to read. Mm-hmm. Other than that.
And even books. Yes. We do. You know what? This would probably be a great time to mention.
That's good.
I know you're trying to wrap it up and you're doing a great job. But we do have upstairs at the church building a small library. And some of those books are free probably for the taking because we've received doubles and so on. Others we would be more than happy to loan out. And so we've been blessed with a lot of books. Going to conferences like Together for the Gospel, they give us tons of books. And some of them we haven't been able to make our way through. So it'd be good for someone to be blessed by them. So you can ask one of us, and we'd love to let you look through those books.
With that, we out.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.